You are listening to Audrey Staton on The Hoe with Audrey Show Weekly to share the encouraging word of the Lord.
And I'm here every week from Hope with Audrey or bi-weekly because I need people to help me sow into this ministry to do it weekly. It is not free to stay on the air. In fact, they delete my podcast from the previous weeks when I don't have enough people sewing into it. So please sew into this so I can do this weekly. Right now I'm doing it bi-weekly. Anyway, how is everyone today? The purpose of this show is to share the word of the Lord and to encourage people not to give up and to keep moving on and to have hope for their future. It is called Hope with Audrey because the Lord gave me that name as I was doing radio in Florida, and the show host, which was a secular show host, said, "What is the name of your program?" And then within a second, I had a chance to give the name because I was going right on the air, and I said, "Hope with Audrey." It was prophetic. And hope is Jesus with Audrey. So Jesus and I do this together because Jesus is the hope, not me. Jesus is our hope, and he is the only one that can get us through hard times. So today I would like to share from Mark chapter 6, because I read the Bible every day, and this is what I'm up to. But I did miss the last 2 days because it was my birthday, and I was resting in bed, and I did not even do anything. So I didn't even read the Bible, but normally I do. And I have some stories I want to share. In fact, I'll share it first. So I love this place called Sunseekers. It's right in Southwest Florida where I live, and it's just so beautiful. And I love it because you can run outside of the actual resort area through the path, and it goes all the way to the highway, and it's miles, and it's just so beautiful. And you can see the sunset, and the restaurants are beautiful, and the hotel is just beautiful. It's just such a lovely place to go. Well, anyway, I went to dinner there. I stayed over just one night. It's very expensive. So being there one night was like amazing because it's like the ritziest hotel. Well, one of them. And I went to Stetto's, this Italian restaurant. And one of the waiters there, he was a spiritualist. And this is the third time this week that I was witnessing to a spiritualist. And they were sharing how Jesus is not the only way to heaven and how his boss gave him rocks and stones. In fact, the boss was watching me witness to him, and she was not happy. She was kept coming in and trying to stop my conversation and interrupt the conversation. But the Lord was telling me to keep talking. So he was into rocks and stones and, you know, things that are not of the Bible. But he was sober for many years, which was very good. And I shared about Jesus, and I said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I started explaining in John 3 how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. And this guy was like, "No, I don't know if I believe that." So I started sharing about the glory of God and how we need to be transformed into his glory and go from glory to glory and to change from our old nature into the new nature of Christ and how he does it through us. And I don't know what words I was saying because I was just being led by the Spirit. He was so intrigued that he got my website, and I've been ministering to him since. And I'm truly believing that he will be saved. But anyway, God has been leading me to spiritualists, and that was my third one in a week, so I thought that was kind of funny. And at first he was not receptive, and he had his boss on top of him trying to stop me, so it was definitely the devil at work, but God was working stronger and higher. So we just pray for his salvation right now in Jesus' name. I call forth angels. I don't want to say his name over this. So we just thank you, Lord God, for his salvation in Jesus' name. Well, anyway, this morning as I was reading in Mark chapter 6, I'm going to just read it and then I will explain what God was showing me. And this is what I was up to. All right. Jesus, and this is where Jesus gets rejected from his own people. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did you get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?" Then they scoffed, "He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Do you know that because of their unbelief, he couldn't heal them? And these were people in Jesus' own hometown and amongst his family. My family refused to believe the truth about God. You know, I've been witnessing to them for many years. They just don't get it. And even in my hometown, and because of their own belief, they could not get healed because they were unbelieving. And Jesus couldn't believe it. You know, after all the things that he's done, how do they not believe in him? But he says that, you know, because of their own belief that they didn't get the healings and he can only heal a few sick people. And that's happened in my own life. Like, if people don't believe, they will not get healed. And I only have a few people getting healed. You know, so Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. Imagine me in just one change of clothes, not even a change of clothes. Help me, Jesus. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. You know how many times the Lord has led me to this scripture? You know, people don't receive you. Even in your own hometown, you have to dust your feet off so that abandon them to their fate. And you can preach all you want and show the love of God, but if they're not going to receive you, you have to keep going. You have to keep marching forth, which is my birthday. March forward. It doesn't mean that you're not the most loving person in the world, but you have to be obedient to what Jesus says to do. So if people don't understand that, he opened me up this morning to this and he told me to do a podcast on it. So if you refuse to accept his words, Jesus says to keep going. And it doesn't mean that you're not loving. It means that you're being obedient to what he said. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Now the ones that believe will get healed, set free, and delivered. But the ones that do not believe, you leave them to their own fate. The death of John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because everyone was talking about him. Some were saying this must be John the Baptist raised from the dead. That is why he could do such miracles. Others said he's the prophet Elijah. Still others said he's a prophet like the other great prophets of the past. When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, John the man I beheaded has come back from the dead. For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. John had been telling Herod, it is against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias bore a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was a good and holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked about John. But even so, he liked to listen to him. Herodias' chance finally came on Herod's birthday. He gave a party for his high government officials, army officers, and leading citizens of Galilee. Then his daughter, also named Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased Herod and his guests. Ask me for anything you like, the king said to the girl, and I will give it to you. He even vowed, I will give you whatever you ask, up to half my kingdom. Wow, in those days they would give anything that you wanted, up to half the kingdom. And she went out and asked her mother, what should I ask for? Her mother told her, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Ooh. So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray. Then the king deeply regretted what he had said, but because of the vows he had made in front of his guests, he couldn't refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in prison, brought his head on a tray, and gave it to the girl, who took it to her mother.
When John's disciples heard what happened, they came to get his body and buried it in a tomb. Wow, that was what she wanted, and that really would disturb her, Herod. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that had been taught. When Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while," he said this because there were many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. That's always the best. God wants us in his quiet place where we can be alone with him. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. You know, a lot of times I'm just going about my way like I did with that spiritualist, and I have such compassion on these people that are so lost. And it's mostly in the highways and byways that I've been seeing them, you know, that God's been just leading me to lead people to the Lord. And it's because of God's compassion that we need to give to these people. And it's not in our own strength, but by him we do them. And late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he said. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Do you know that there's been so many times, and I wrote some of the testimonies in my first book, where God multiplied the bread and fish for me? I'll give you a few examples. In my first marriage, I was paying for everything and I went into bankruptcy. But before then, I literally didn't have any money to even get home from work. And I would see like $3 bills, $3 like on the ground that would get me gas from Brooklyn to Long Island. Or there was times I went for a walk on my lunch break. And I was one day I was walking and I had a staff meeting when I got back. And I was the director of Life Enrichment back in New York. I was the only one doing that. And I couldn't miss the meeting. I was there 11 years at this job. And I was like, "Okay, Lord, I need at least $1.50 to pay for deodorant because I'm not going in there after I just took this walk in the hot sun." So the Lord's funny. He said, "Okay, well, look on the ground." I look on the ground. It was 50 cents. I was like, "Okay, well, I need a little bit more, but thank you." He said, "No, go inside the store with that 50 cents and watch me work." Do you know I saw a deodorant and it said 50 cents on the thing? And it was not 50, it was normally $1.50 because I've gotten it there before. But God changed the price to 50 cents. I went up to the counter, I paid for it and walked out with that 50 cents. And it was like, it was actually like 48 cents or something. And with the tax, it was like amazing how God, because I don't remember how it actually happened, but I remember it being total 50 cents. And God changed the price so that I would have deodorant for my staff meeting. And God is so comical like that. He's never left me hungry or needing, even if in the lowest of points. And he will multiply fish and bread and everything for us. So there's been so many times where I had no money and angels would come up to me and give me $25 when I had my little baby and I didn't have a job. I was doing a home daycare and God just brought me the kids and the parents and I led them all to the Lord. And he provided everything for my home daycare when my daughter was a baby until she was 3 years old. I can go on all day with stories, but he is the one that multiplies the bread and the fish. Jesus walks on water. Did you know that? Well, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida. While he sent the people home, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. They brought the boat to shore and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever he was. Wherever he went, in villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to the marketplaces. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched were healed. Do you know how amazing that is? They did not believe in the bread and the fish testimony. That was not enough for them to see that. So they didn't believe, but when they saw him walking on water, then they believed he was a miracle-working God. So sometimes God will have to manifest himself in different ways. And sometimes he had to actually leave people to their own fate. God is the God of knowing what way he's going to reach people. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. So many times I lead people to the Lord and see healings. And so many times he'll tell me to get off Facebook or get off, you know, TikTok or whatever, because I'm not those people are not receiving me, but they'll receive me out on the streets. So you have to be obedient to God and his way of doing things. It's not unloving to be obedient. That's the only way to live life. And that's the only way to win. Jesus says to march forth. You know, that's my birthday, to march forward 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Not stick and be stuck into the past. And God wants us to be obedient to his ways and his will in our life. And God is just a miracle-working God, and he's doing miracles each day. I pray for people all day long. I get in boxes, and often I see people healed. It's not everyone today, because some people just don't have the faith. Without the faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who believe in him must believe in him. And then he will heal them. So they have to be believers and have faith as much as a mustard seed. And if we have faith as much as a mustard seed, we could speak to any mountain and say, "Move from here to yonder place," and nothing is impossible for us. So just have faith in Jesus and your life will change. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to do so now. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. I know that I've sinned against you, and through you I have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for dying for me and leading me to you, in Jesus' name." If you accepted Jesus just now, please contact me at abministry.com. That's abministry.com. Or call me at 941-258-8389. 941-258-8389. And I will help you. I will disciple you to get you on track. I disciple many people to get them closer to Jesus, but I disciple the ones that are open and ready to receive. And if you need help with trauma, please contact me. I've been doing a lot of trauma coaching and seeing wonderful results. I also have a book that is sponsoring this broadcast, Hope and Healing, Tools to Have Peace in the Eye of the Storm. That's Hope and Healing, Tools to Have Peace in the Eye of the Storm by Audrey Staton on Amazon.com. And if you would like to sponsor, I will definitely acknowledge you, and I will bring you up every week. I have over 3,000 people that have subscribed to this channel. So please sponsor me, and I will definitely announce you and help you out as well. But if you've accepted Jesus, I just want to encourage you to get a Bible and to contact me. I will help you get closer to the Lord and get with Bible-believing people that really love you and to encourage you. And I love you. And don't forget to go to abministry.com to help me stay on the air. It's not free, and I can only do it bi-weekly now. In fact, this was my second time doing this because my first broadcast, which was a lot longer, got totally deleted because I didn't have enough airtime. All right. Love you. God bless you. And I will see you soon. Hi, this is Audrey. How are you today?